G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Coming up today on The Story.
So we opened up a preschool the next Monday for 17 kids from the slum. No books, no chairs, and 17 kids from the slum, and we just went for it. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, Margie, you need to calm down. You're not the savior of the world. And I said, I'm not trying to be the savior of the world. I'm just caring for the one that God brings me today. And one by one, I'm going to love these kids and love them into the kingdom.
The Story.
G'day, I'm Jimmy Colfax. Welcome to The Story. Well, today we have part two of our conversation with Margie Granger, who's the founder of the Hand to Hand Foundation in Thailand. As we heard last time, she originally went to Thailand to be a teacher for just 2 years. But then, after she became a Christian, God led her step by step into ministry work that kept on growing. And it all started when she met a little boy in jail named Tang. When we ended last time, she shared that she received a supernatural confirmation that she was to leave the ministry work that she'd been doing in Thailand. Today, we'll hear what happened next in her life and the amazing ways that God helps to expand her ministry. Once again, Margie Granger is chatting with Eric Scatterbo.
So in January 2009, with a heavy, heavy heart, before this, I was going to two churches. So the church that I was connected to with the orphanage and all the children's activities, that's the one that God said, I want you to lay down all this ministry. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, I can understand why, because if I didn't lay it all down, there's no way I could have done what he was called me to do.
Well, now you have me on the edge of my seat here. What did he call you to do?
So January 2009, I rented a small shed and I continued to do prison because God had started the prison ministry through me. Mm-hmm. And I opened a small shed just to store the bulk water that I was ordering and donations of clothes. I had no sponsors. I'd make sandwiches in my shed at nighttime, load my car, go to school, teach all day, on the way home from school, go to the prison, go back to my shed and make sandwiches. And then these kids showed up. Are you hungry? Yeah. Want a sandwich? Yeah. Want to play a game? Yeah. So within 2 weeks, I had kids club.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the grandmas started to come. So I began to feed the grandmas. I'm all alone doing this.
And you're financing this all yourself.
Financing all this by myself. I have no spiritual oversight. I have no one helping me. And one night I sat down and I cried out to God and I said, God, you never send anyone out one by one. Mm-hmm. Where is my two by two?
Yeah.
And so God brought me an ex-prostitute, an ex-alcoholic, an ex-drug addict, and myself.
That was your team.
And that was my team.
And how did you know them? How did they come in your circle?
Well, you know, they were Christians that I'd known because I'd been a Christian now for 14 years. Mm-hmm. So they were people that I'd met through other ministries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they just came along and said, we love what you're doing. We love the youth. We want to start a skate park. And so, you know, one guy started a skateboard ministry and that became our part of our after school activities. And another guy said, you know, I really have a heart for those in prison because I've been in prison myself. And so it was people who've lived through experiences that said, I want to come alongside you and do what you're doing. And of course, obviously they were called by God.
Mm-hmm.
And then people said, well, what's the name of this? I'm like, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about a name.
Yeah.
So someone said, how about Paul and Silas Ministries? Because you go to the jail. I'm like, no.
Everybody would be thinking, who's Paul and who's Silas?
Exactly. So we called it Hand to Hand. So it was our hand extended to the poor, mm-hmm. and God's hand on top of ours, leading us everywhere mm-hmm. to go and what to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm still financing this 100% by myself. We're 8 months into ministry. God said, I want you to go rent that big room. God, I don't need a big room. Go rent that big room. God, I don't have any supporters. Use your own money. Okay. So I went and I tripled the cost of renting a room, and I exploded from 24 kids to 66 kids in 1 month.
Oh, wow.
So now I really need some serious help.
Yeah. Oh, financial help as well.
As well. So these two ladies that I'd known from the orphanage, they came to me and they actually had no idea what I was doing. But a mutual friend said, I think you really need to go visit Margie because you've got very similar hearts. Mm-hmm. And they got to my door and my logo was just literally a hand-drawn thing on an A4 piece of paper. And it was the two hands, and one of the ladies burst out crying, and she's now our president. Oh. And I said, what? She said, I was praying to God this afternoon, and I put my hand out, and I said, God, you have to show me where to go and what to do. And she said, I saw a picture of God bring his hand down from heaven, put his hand on top of mine, and said, I'll lead you to a place where my hand is upon you. And that's what our logo is, and that's what it meant.
Oh, wow.
So I brought these two ladies in. And I said, okay, dream job. If you could do anything in the whole wide world and you didn't have to worry about education, time, money, or resources, what would you do? And she said, we want to teach the poor children. We'll teach them under a mango tree if we have to. And I said, well, I've got this big room. I have no tables. I have no chairs. But I have recycled toys and papers and crayons from the school that I teach at.
Oh, okay.
So they said, yeah, but did we tell you that Pi's only finished grade 9 and Mon's only finished grade 6? I said, but if that's what God's called you to do, who cares?
Huh.
So we opened up a preschool the next Monday for 17 kids from the slum. No books, no chairs, no teachers, recycled stuff, and 17 kids from the slum. And we just went for it. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, Margie, Margie, you need to calm down. You're not the savior of the world. And I said, I'm not trying to be the savior of the world. I'm just caring for the one that God brings me today.
Mm.
And the one that God brings me tomorrow. And one by one, I'm going to love these kids and love them into the kingdom.
Mm.
So people realize, wow, this crazy lady is really doing it. So we got secondhand tables that, you know, they were big tables. So we just sawed the legs off the tables and put some chairs with them. And, you know, the first big sponsor we ever got was Hell's Angels.
Really?
And
a motorcycle gang?
Motorcycle gang.
There's a motorcycle gang in Thailand?
Oh, many, many, many.
Is that right?
And there was a motorcycle repair shop next to this big area because, you know, I couldn't afford much. So I'm renting, you know, when I'd say I'm renting a room, I'm literally renting two garage sheds that are connected.
Oh, okay.
In a semi-industrial area. And there's a motorbike shop opposite us. And, you know, this is where the Hell's Angels come to get their motorbikes repaired. And one day, this really big guy walks in and he says, I'm looking for Margie Granger. And I'm like, that's me. And he said, we want to help you. And he handed over 200,000 baht cash, $10,000.
Wow. And you know this was legit money, though.
Yeah. Because, yeah, they have a T-shirt company.
Oh, okay. I mean, because when I think of Hell's Angels, I'm thinking like criminals, but you're not saying that's the case
right there. But you know what the thing is they're my mission field.
Of course, yeah.
Because I guarantee you they're not going to walk into a church.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
So why did he decide to give you all that money?
Because they were watching us when they came to get their motorbikes repaired.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to help the poor kids.
Okay.
So he told me all about their T-shirt company.
So even Hell's Angels have a heart.
Yeah. And, you know, God called them.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the Hell's Angels, and, you know, it was a little while later, he came to me and we were talking and I actually led him to the Lord.
Oh, wow.
And you know it's real because after we'd been talking for a while and he prayed to receive Jesus, he got a phone call from his mates and they said, you know, happy hour's about to finish. Where are you? And he said, I'm not coming. I'm going home. So it's just amazing to see what God is doing in and through the most unlikely people. Because if no one reaches out to them but us, who?
Yeah.
You know? So people started to give us secondhand crayons and everything. So this school started to develop. And everything's still coming out of my own pocket. We got no major sponsors at this point.
Except for the Hell's Angels, anyway.
Except for the Hell's Angels, yeah. And, you know, there were a few people that would give us, you know, a little bit of a donation for this, but no major sponsors.
Yeah.
So then we very quickly realized that, you know, although we were educating and feeding these children during the day, they were going home hungry. So God said, go feed them. So we began to go into the slums and feed the families. So slum ministry started.
So
we had prison, we had after-school activities, we had preschool, now we had slum. And whilst we're in the slums, we saw children who weren't going to school. Why don't you go to school? I can't afford it. I don't have enough money for uniforms. I don't have any money for books. I met one girl and she was huddled over in a corner crying. And I said, it was raining. And I said, why are you crying? And she said, this is the only way I can keep my books and uniforms dry so that I can go to school tomorrow. I want to be a doctor.
Oh, wow.
And so she went through our scholarship system, became a forensic doctor, and she now works at one of the international hospitals.
So
she did achieve her dream.
Wow, fantastic.
So we thought, okay, we need to start scholarship. We need to start sending these kids to school. Now, you know, everything you know about missions, you kind of have to turn it upside down. So we started a school with no money, and then we went and sought fundraising, and then we wrote the plan. We went out into
the slums. Kind of the reverse of what you would think.
We went to start feeding the slums families and thought, well, we need to start raising money for this. And we raised money and then we made a plan. And then we saw children that needed to go to school. We started sending them to school and thought, well, my gosh, we really need to fundraise for this. And then we made a plan. So whatever need God brings us, we step out in faith and know that God is going to bring the finances and everything we've done.
It sounds like you see a need, meet a need, and trust that the Lord will provide the finances to meet that need as well.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Story. Today, Eric Scadabo is once again chatting with Margie Granger, who's the founder of the Hand to Hand Foundation in Thailand. She's sharing her life journey and the amazing ways that God has gradually expanded her ministry. We'll hear more of Margie's remarkable story when we return.
The Story. If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401 132 888.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Colfax, and this is The Story. Our guest today is once again Margie Granger, who's the founder of the Hand to Hand Foundation in Thailand. She's sharing her life journey and how God led her step by step to expand her ministry work. Now, here's more of Margie sharing the remarkable ways the ministry has grown.
Then one of our kids got sick, so we went to the hospital to visit our kid. And we're still not a foundation at this point. This is still 2009. All of this is happening in 1 year.
Wow.
And we go to the hospital and the nurse says, oh, you help the poor people. We've got a little Cambodian boy here and he has no sucking reflex. So he's nasal gastric fed and he has a hospital bill of 60,000 baht. Can you pay his hospital bill? And we said, well, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give thee. We laid hands on the baby. God healed the baby right there in the nurse's arm. The baby began to suck for the very first time in his life, and he was 4 months old. And the nurse is going, okay, who are you? And when are you coming back? So that'll start a hospital ministry.
Yes. And just as an aside, you said that you see a lot of miracles over there in Thailand. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So then we're going through the slums and we're praying for people. You know, by now it's early 2010 and we've now got some decent sponsorship coming in. Mm-hmm. And it was taking us so long to feed our families because we were stopping to pray for each family so much. So we said, okay, here's the deal. On Fridays, we're going to come and feed you anyway and we'll pray for you. But if you've got real prayer needs that, you know, you want intercession for, or you want to, you know, someone in your family or your community to come to know the Lord, we're going to come into this community on a Tuesday night, this community on a Thursday night. So we literally went into the slum and we put some blue chairs under the night sky. No one could play any instruments. So we pressed play on a CD player. We began to read the Word of God. And people came.
Wow, just for that.
And we prayed for people healed of leukemia.
Really?
One lady comes and she says, my husband's an alcoholic. Every bit of money we get, he drinks. We prayed for her husband through her. The next morning he woke up. Every time he tried to drink alcohol, he was violently ill. Never drank alcohol ever again. We prayed that people would get jobs and they began to get jobs. One girl came and she was only 15 and she came and she heard us talk about Jesus and she went home and she said, okay, Jesus, if you're real, I need rice and a cooking pot and a shirt. If you're real, you will help me get these things. About 2 hours later, there was like a little knock on her tin shed door and she opened her door and there was a pot and there was rice and there was a shirt.
Oh, wow. Now, how did they know to bring that to her? Did she make it public?
No. You know, we had one little girl once and this, you know, this is God hearing the cries of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not anybody manufacturing and saying, okay, I want this child to believe in Jesus. So we're going to deliver those things. We didn't even know that this is what she prayed for until she came back the next week and said, okay, guys, I went home and I prayed for this. And this is what happened. And that builds faith in the rest of the community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had one child who, you know, went home and her mom had migraines and there was no money for medicine or anything. And the parents came the next day to the preschool to drop the child off. And they were just like, okay, we don't know what happened last night, but my wife had a really bad migraine. And our daughter said, it's okay, mommy, Jesus will heal you. They said she laid hands on the mother. And they said, we don't know what she said, but she kind of went like, ba 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 ba. And the migraine left and it's never come back.
Oh, wow.
Now, I never talked to my children about speaking in tongues or anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Holy Spirit working through toddlers because, you know, these toddlers have real needs. And when I tell them that this Jesus is real, and this Jesus can hear you and will answer your prayers, they believe it. You know, there was another kid, and he was just 4 years old, and we just learned about creation. It takes me 8 weeks to teach creation because each week we do a different day, and the whole emphasis is God's words are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke creation into being. So, you know, he goes home and his mom says, you know, Khatun, there's no dinner. We don't have any food and mommy has no money. And he says, it's okay, Kamani. God's words are powerful. Now, we'd given the mom a Bible, but neither the mom nor the child could read, right? But he knew God's words were in that Bible. So we got the Bible and he put his hands on the Bible and he said, you know what, mommy? God's words are powerful. And Jesus, we know that you can help us. And dear Jesus, we need food. In Jesus' name, amen. About an hour later, someone who owed this mother money came and gave money that had been owed to her for many years. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit making divine appointments.
Wow.
And when God, these children pray, God hears.
Yeah.
And then this begins to build faith in the parents. And the parents are coming to faith through the children.
Now, how did the foundation start?
So in 2010, so we've got these little prayer meetings happening in the slums. Mm-hmm. I'm still teaching full-time at the international school through all of this.
That's hard to believe. All this is going on and you're still teaching full-time. You still have a full-time job.
Still have a full-time job. And I'm like, okay, I need to quit my job. Mm-hmm. So in order to quit my job and do this full-time, I need a work permit. In order to get a work permit, we need to become a foundation. But the problem is a foundation takes anywhere between 2 to 5 years to develop.
Well, because you need all the legal paperwork and all that.
Right. So, you know, we're in August, September 2010 now. So we went to the local government and we said, do you have the application to be a foundation? They said, well, here's the paperwork, but do you have a lawyer and $500,000? Oh, no. Wow. Well, that's what you need. Okay, never mind. Can we have the paper? So we filled in the answers that we knew. And we went back to the local government. We said, okay, what's this question? And he'd explain the question. And we'd go back and fill in the answer and do all the paperwork we needed for that question. And we kept going back to him. And he kept saying to us, do you have a lawyer and $500,000? No, 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 no. Anyway, we eventually filled out all the paperwork. And he said, okay, so do you have $500,000? And we said, no, we're still praying.
And what is that equivalent to in Australian money?
So divide that by 20. So what's that? That's about $25,000.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So we're praying. And a guy from South Africa that I knew, he called me up and he said, Margie, what do you need? I said, I need $25,000. And he said, okay. And he set up a bank account with $25,000.
Oh, wow.
So we went back to the local office and said, okay, we've got all the paperwork. We've got the money in the bank. And he said, okay, forget the lawyer. And because he literally helped us write the papers, they didn't need to investigate our application. Oh. He just put a stamp on it and sent it to the provincial office. Well, the next month, wouldn't you know, God got him promoted to the provincial office.
That's fantastic.
And the first piece of paper that came across his desk was our application for foundation.
Oh, this looks familiar.
He's like, I know this. So he goes, stamp, stamp, stamp. So within 2 months, we had the foundation.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely unheard of. 2 to 5 years is minimum. And you need a lawyer.
And a lot of money.
Yeah. But God, I'm like, God, if this is what you want, then you will provide all of the needs. And so he did. So we became a foundation.
Well, we'll have to stop it right there as we've run out of time for today's program, but we invite you to join us next time to hear more of Margie Granger's remarkable life journey and the amazing story of the growth of the Hand to Hand Foundation. As we're hearing, the Lord keeps leading her and opening the doors for more and more ministry opportunities in Thailand. And to learn more about her ministry, you can go to the website handtohandpatayao.com. And Patayao is spelled P-A-T-T-A-Y-A. Once again, that's handtohandpatayao.com. Finally, before we end today, I just want to mention that Margie's story kind of reminds me of a famous quote by Mother Teresa. She said, "When you look at the masses and all their needs, you feel overwhelmed. But if you look at one person in need, you will make a start." And that's exactly what happened to Margie when she met that little boy named Tang in that jail cell. She knew she had to make a start, and as we've been hearing, that seed has now blossomed and grown into a full-fledged foundation that is helping more and more people in Thailand and spreading the good news of Jesus. We'll hear more of Margie's incredible stories next time as she shares more of her life journey with us. Until then, I'm Jimmy Colfax, encouraging you to share your story with someone today.
Next time on The Story.
I'm praying and God's like, Margie, do you love me? Yes, Lord. How much? 100% God. He said, okay, sell your house, sell your car, sell everything you own, and give it to me. So my father, who wasn't a Christian, was absolutely livid. My daughter's gone to Thailand. She's joined a cult. Now she's selling everything she owns. You know, he was in a mad panic.
Margie Granger joins us once again to share more of the remarkable ways the Lord leads and guides her to expand her ministry work in Thailand. Margie is the founder of the Hand to Hand Foundation, and she'll share more of her incredible life journey next time.
The Story. Just another way Vision is helping you look to God daily.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.